Good morning, everybody. I'm Capitol correspondent Tim Skubick, sitting in for Mark Bayshore, who is somewhere warm. And we are not warm, are we? Rick Pluta from Michigan Public Radio and Bill Ballinger from Inside Michigan Politics. As you know, each month at this time, we sit down and talk about what happened in the month, newsworthy. Give me your lead. It's a little chilly.
I mean, we're not outside.
So. You know, I feel like we're doing David Letterman, you know, 32 degrees, just to, you know, keep the juices going. Give me your lead story for February. What was the top story, Ricky?
For me, it's Michigan's same-sex marriage ban going on trial in Detroit.
All right. That's not the right answer, Billy. That's a good try, though.
Can I get a consolation
you
prize?
You do.
Early skirmishes over the state budget. Particularly involving transportation.
Wrong again, guys. It's snow removal.
Well, transportation.
Well, okay, yeah, all right. Well, what are they doing on transportation? Is there going to be more money for snow removal and potholes right like now?
Yes, and the problem for one tough nerd is that...
that would be the governor for people who just moved from Ohio.
Is that whether they put 100 and something million or 200 and something million into it, what that does is that's a stopgap. That deals with the problems or some of the problems that have been created by this ferocious winter, but that'll buy some salt, fill some potholes, cover some overtime, but it won't deal with the pressing long-term structural needs of the system. And as soon as the governor gives that away, then that also eliminates the pressure to go for the big money, which is $1.2 billion.
Billy, what's your take on this?
Well, I think what Rick said is absolutely correct. The key thing right now is the legislature, which has kind of dismissed the governor's entreaties to come up with $1.2 billion a year for 10 years, now is in a panic over snow removal and potholes and is fighting between the House and Senate on how much to give to this. And the governor's saying, wait, where was all this enthusiasm?
Well, he's kind of, except
when
he's
I trying, needed you.
When except
I needed
he's trying you. To have it both ways. That you know, he's on board with some sort of, you know, emergency,
but he
you
hasn't
know,
given us
patching
a number
package.
Yet.
He has not.
How long does
We're
it take to add up 4 and 4 and come up with a million? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, come
he,
on.
He claims he's coming
for?
Up with new figures now.
New numbers.
Yeah.
Well,
actually,
they will do something in the short term. We agree.
Yes.
On that.
Yes.
Okay.
The only question is how much.
Well, because they can,
does that slide over into broader transportation funding?
And they will do that because they can do it without having to squeeze taxpayers for more.
Well, look, we have a soundbite here we want to play. The growing despair of Michigan roads became much of an issue, as we just discussed here in February. Here's Denise Donahue, director of the County Road Association, who would love to get her hands on more money. Please.
Our road agencies need bigger budgets all the way around. All we're talking about is clearing the snow. When all the folks are telling me when the pothole season occurs in late March or April, the frost is very, very deep in the ground. We're going to see more potholes and chunks being tossed up onto the pavement than we've seen in a long time.
Blah, blah, blah. It's the same old story from the roller
block. And not just, and not from the ground up, but also, you know, from the top down, that when we start seeing pieces falling off bridges.
Well, that's the point. The governor made the point this in the Chamber of Commerce. Now, talk about bad money after bad money. They're going to do billboards, try to convince lawmakers to put money. Bill, please. Are billboards going to turn votes around in this legislature?
No.
Billboards worked
so.
Well in the Medicaid
expansion. Yes, in the Medicaid thing, right.
Really and this is a campaign year, so legislators are very reluctant to get into stuff like this, raising taxes, fees, doing major transportation funding restructuring. But the bottom line is legislators love to give money to people when the population thinks they need it in an emergency. And this is an emergency.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse. The potholes are going to proliferate in the next 2 months.
The governor said yesterday, if you drive on the freeway system and you go under or over eight bridges, one of them is in disrepair. And he said, now we don't have to close them down.
He said, if you go over eight bridges, then at least one of them statistically is what's called structurally deficient, which does not mean dangerous, but it's on the road to dangerous.
Tim, I call that a veiled threat.
One word, Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember Minnesota? Yes. How many years ago was that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
oh,
where
that
the bridge collapsed. I mean, that
ago.
Was an ugly sight.
Yeah.
You don't want that happening in Michigan on anybody's watch.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, what else was big in February, Billy?
Oh, I mean, I think the usual, the tax cut. Are we going to have a tax cut? Or are we going to have a homestead tax credit?
Or both.
or both. You know, I'm talking about in Lansing. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on, obviously, with bankruptcy down in Detroit.
Yep.
Rick has got his own interest
I'm
in,
let him get
in
to that
gay
eventually.
Marriage.
I will.
But here in Lansing, I think because the governor comes out with his budget in February and there's all the early skirmishing, I think that's what it's really been about.
The homestead exemption as proposed by the governor did not open to rave reviews. Why?
Well, because it doesn't fit with the Republican mantra on tax cutting, which is that it should be across the board so that the people who pay the most get the most relief.
That would be the rich.
And what the governor is saying is, you know what, we've only got so much money to put into this. And really, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot. So let's do it where it will make a difference, where people will notice it and use it.
There he goes being a non-career politician.
I don't know that it's a bad political move either.
Well, it does target the tax relief at people that supposedly need it. And as he has said,
working class independent voters.
Rich people are not calling me up and saying they want a tax break.
Remember, the difference between the governor who is running for reelection is he's running statewide.
Right.
Legislators who are running for reelection are running in districts drawn primarily to benefit Republicans. And the dynamic, the political dynamics there are quite different.
Neither the twain shall meet. There will be something.
I think there will be something, but again, we haven't mentioned what the governor's proposing is pretty hard to explain to people, and it covers a relatively small number of people.
1.3 million?
Well, it's not 10 million, like the Republicans would make it broader and so forth. So that is the good part of the Republican legislator's argument, but you know, for the governor, in terms of the image of that he wants to create going into a reelection bid, that he's trying to help the people who need it most, lower income people, his proposal is the more intelligent suggestion.
Mm-hmm. And when he gets hammered by the Democrats, as he already is, as, you know, being against the working class, he can go, hey, wait a second, you know, look at this tax proposal. What is this about except for, you know, helping hard working class taxpayers with their home taxes?
And don't forget, I also helped the same group of people with Medicaid expansion. Mm. So it's beginning to add up on
his
side.
The same sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Talk about the gay marriage court case.
Oh, well, you know, this has been long anticipated, a couple of years in the making, that finally Michigan's same-sex marriage ban, the constitutional amendment approved 10 years ago by voters, is on trial in Detroit as potentially a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And it's getting a lot of attention, although not as much attention as it seemed to be getting even, you know, as recently as this summer, in part because federal judges in other states have been knocking down same-sex
left
marriage
and right
bans.
In fact, really, one happened in Texas yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that's number four since the Doma
decision.
The popular
wisdom is this judge is going to side with the LGBT community. Is that the buzz in the courtroom?
I mean, everyone seems to think that's his predisposition, although every time he's had the opportunity to pull the trigger on it, you know, he's said, wait, one more thing. And what makes this distinctive is that from some of these other cases is this is where not just Michigan's same-sex marriage ban is on trial, but all the research surrounding that.
Well, this is a trial on the data.
This is a trial on the data, on the studies, on the methods and you know, the size of the samples and where they've drawn them from.
On the issue of, are kids okay with gay parents?
And what the plaintiffs, April DeBoer and Jane Rouse and the ACL want to do is they want to go and take all of that research. They say it's junk science, conclusion-based reasoning, and they want to shred it, bury it, and salt the earth so that it cannot be used again as a legitimate claim on the legitimacy of same-sex marriage.
Here's the problem for the judge. The people in Michigan have spoken to this.
Exactly.
In 2004.
Yeah, this is a big problem. Judges seem to be in a rush all over the country to overturn traditional marriage by judicial fiat. Where they've had votes in the country, obviously traditional marriage, at least until the last 18 months, has been upheld. we should probably be deciding these very controversial emotional issues in the legislature by public debate, in votes. We've gotten into a lot of trouble on abortion because of Roe v. Wade, which was a U.S. Supreme Court decision. It was never allowed to be settled in the states or nationally. I think this is another instance.
And wait a minute. There's no motivation in this Republican legislature to revisit this issue. This is a done deal for them. The only folks that want to revisit it are the D's, and they don't have the votes
then,
to revisit
well,
it.
Then the Democrats and the people who want gay marriage should put it on the ballot again, have a revote in 2016. And in fact, they are talking about doing that. Is what should be done, not have a judge come in and say, you know something, for 200 years, traditional marriage was okay, but all of a sudden I find something wrong with it, and it's illegal.
Well, times change.
There are two things about that, though. And one of them is that this certainly would not happen if we were not seeing a dramatic shift in public opinion on this. Now, public opinion surveys, it is true, it is not election, but it does seem to be creating cover we won't know until an election happens.
Exactly.
So,
precisely my point.
But the part of the claim here is that DeBoer and Rouse are saying, you know what though, that marriage is a fundamental right. It is not something that can or should be legislated. It is not something that can or should be voted on by the public, just like any other civil rights.
So it should not be settled by judges.
That is basically the argument.
Well, that's why we do have a court
system. It should be taken off the table.
And I'm saying it's probably resulting in diminished respect for our courts, which you've seen.
Has anybody in the court case raised the argument that gay marriage and gay adoption somehow does something to traditional marriage, or have they given up that?
I have not seen or heard that yet. Really, the argument, and most of it is based around the welfare of children. Sure. Remember, this started as an adoption rights case.
Right.
So, you know, not as much that. What the state is arguing is that, and these are nuanced legal arguments, that a male, female, biological parents of the children are the, quote, optimal situation for children. Therefore, it was rational for voters to approve it. It wasn't a ridiculous decision. And if it's going to be changed, then it should be changed by voters. That's the state's argument.
When do we hear from the judge?
This trial is supposed to go through the end of next week. There's no hard end date.
Right.
And we don't know whether he'll rule from the bench or we'll have to wait.
Let's turn the page. The governor got style points for recommending $350 million to help the pensioners in Detroit under bankruptcy. How's he doing on selling that, William?
That remains to be seen.
That is an understatement. Please.
Well, let's put it this way. The Democrats want to support it, and I think key Republican leaders in the legislature want to support
it.
But the majority of the Republicans in the House and Senate do not, because there is always reluctance to give money to Detroit to bail it out for what
this is not a bailout, the governor says. This is not a bailout.
That is the way they look at it and define it. And so I think it really is going to come down to, are there strings attached?
Yes. Randy Richardson had a great line. He says, not strings, ropes.
Ropes, okay.
Ropes.
Okay, and are they tenable? Are they sellable? Will they make legislators say, okay, we can accept that? You know, obviously it would be very helpful to the emergency manager and the powers to be in Detroit if they could make this happen. But it is a tough sell.
Mm-hmm. It is. And you know, as you know, Democrats are also saying that they may be inclined, but they're saying don't assume out of the gate that we're on board with this.
Exactly.
We may have our own strings in exchange for supporting this. But really, and the governor's best sales pitch is not really a great one, because this is the least worst option, that this $350 million will be used to forestall worse things from happening, like having to sell, you know, the artwork in the DIA.
But there you go again, logic to the political process. If you looked
the
at this logic.
The political process has its own logic. It's just very.
can you give me an example of the last time it applied?
Please,
we have a half hour show. Fill it.
Why does a Republican from Kalkaska care passionately about whether or not Detroit has to sell works of art in order to meet its obligations.
I mean that's
the logic. That you've got to go back and sell that to.
Well, you've got to go back. The logic is pay me now or pay me more later. Okay, if Detroit doesn't get out of this thing, we got to help them now so that the bill will be. Does that resonate?
That's the governor's argument, and it's working just as well here as it is with road funding.
Exactly, and he doesn't have the votes to do this.
Legislators tend to believe they'll never have to pay.
Well, at least they hope they don't, right? Minimum wage.
That's the problem, is that the legislature does handle the state's finances just like we handle our family's finances.
Yeah, and some of us do it well and some of us don't, but we won't go there. Minimum wage, this is going to be on the ballot?
It looks like for sure it will be on the ballot. The real question is whether the legislature and or the governor decide, Monty Hall, let's make a deal here. It's going on the ballot, so let's make it a little less onerous on the business community than it would be if it's voted in by the people and they pass a bill.
As we look at this governor's race, this appears at this early read, and it is early, that this is one of the only things that Mark Schauer has to go out and beat the drum on, or is there something else?
Well, you know, they're using the extending the income tax to pensions. You know, now it's the seniors tax that there's
the cuts
this
to education
over school funding.
There's that word, NIF9. I love it. You get the prize.
But you know, this does seem to be sort of, you know, an emblematic issue that Mark Schauer and Democrats can use, and all the way up and down the ballot. This is a federal issue. Yep. This is a state issue. In order to sort
let,
of
let me pick up on, the, and okay. Thank you for reminding me on this. There are conflicting schools of thought on whether the cuts to education and the pension tax on senior are actually working. Remember, we had on the show Eric Nesbitt last week, who says, "Go ahead, Democrats, continue to play that song because it doesn't work." And we had the guy Brandon Dillon, who said, "Yeah, it's working."
These are the respective Republican
for
and
the
Democratic
House and Senate
House
campaigns.
Caucus
yeah, campaign so is years. It working? Does this resonate
well,
with voters?
Well, I think polls show that among the general public right now, it is working. So I think Dillon is right and Nesbitt is wrong. And that's largely because the Republicans in the legislature have done a poor job of explaining whether they actually have cut funding for education.
To underscore
in the last
how
years.
This is important, the Snyder people asked an attorney to ask the TV stations to take off the ad where Mr. Schauer says he cut education by $1 billion. Now, of course, they didn't, but that was a clear indication that they are concerned.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it's become one of those standard campaign tactics, which is, you know, go legal on them. And
threaten your license. Did you catch the line in the lights? May impact your license with the
FCC. And I think that, you know, even the broadcasters who are very protective of that have nevertheless become kind of sanguine about it. Like, yeah, you know, been there, done that. We know how this turns out.
You know what? Let me put this on the table. One word makes a difference. Remember in the race for governor between DeVos and Granholm, the one word that was critical was he shipped jobs to China. Mm-hmm. Now the key word is cut. The governor cut education. Wouldn't it be fascinating if this race came down to who believes what that word cut means?
Well, it would be, and it would be instructive if people have learned their lesson and they can really detect the truth. You had the state budget director outgoing this weekend on TV, and he'll tell people that the reason Michigan has increased its funding on education is if you count pension benefits, because that's what the state has done.
Yep.
Come in and all the Democrats are talking about is per pupil foundation grant funding.
And the
that's
poor
what they're
people,
talking
their
about.
Their eyes are cutting. Glazing. This is a
well,
complicated
except,
debate.
But one is also a long-term benefit, and the other is a, you know, here's
get
what
in.
Happened, you know,
yeah,
right
it's
now
an
in this brief window.
Increase right now. The state has increased.
Bill Ballinger, Inside Michigan Politics, for Ricky Pluto from Michigan Public Radio. Always good to see you guys. Enjoy the rest of the spring.
Mm-hmm. Going skiing.
Spring.
Spring. In my head. I'm Tim Skubikin for Mark Bayshore. And let's listen to a little music.